requires more action. Anyone who tells you that you're working too hard, I promise you, is not working hard enough. Unfortunately, such people have given up on their hopes of having an extraordinary life. Such people are mediocre at best and have forgotten about the dreams they used to have. So take massive actions until you get new problems, at which point you will get new levels of sales results. Take massive action until you got people around you criticizing you. Take massive action until you've got people around you saying, dude, you got to slow down. You're freaking out. I'm worried about you. At that point, keep taking action. Don't quit until you get new problems like increased taxes, bigger cars, bigger homes, time off, promotions. Take massive action and take it until you get to 10X. This is called the 10X rule. If you want one thing, you have to take action equal to at least 10 times what you believe in your mind to ensure you attain that one thing. If you do this, you won't have to hope, wish, cross your fingers, or pray, because what you want and far more will come to you because you have assessed the right amount of action is being created. You understand? I want X. I need to do 10 times what I think I need, and you will get it. A salesperson once told me about the bad luck. The bad string of luck he'd been experiencing. My appointment's canceled, my buyers are backing out, another customer had to change your order, and so on. I told him, look, dude, that's not your problem. Your problem's not bad luck or misfortune, but you don't have enough in your pipeline, man. You don't take enough action. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, look, you need so much in your pipeline, you would have taken so much action that if you took 10 times more action than you've been taking, if one or two people fell off, an appointment canceled, a buyer backed out, you would actually welcome the canceling as it would be a relief to the situation that you have of too much going on. You get it? You want to take 10 times the action you believe necessary. If you take enough action and are getting results, then it's no big deal when an appointment canceled or a buyer backs out. You get a little bad luck. Bad luck ain't bad luck anymore. Bad luck is good luck. I'm glad they canceled. Couldn't handle it all. In fact, you'll welcome this occasional cancellation so you can get everyone on your lineup. But look, if you're only taking small amounts of action every day, you lose the deal. All of your attention goes on that so-called misfortune, and the loss becomes you don't have anything to replace it with. You see, you've put too much attention on too little. Put your attention on massive to ensure you don't become passive. Act like a madman. An associate of mine watched me call a client 15 times in 3 days without the client ever returning a call. Wow, is this too much? He said, man, dude, you're a maniac. You're crazy. This guy hadn't even called you back. What are you doing? I don't think it's crazy. I think I'm on the right track. When I want to get something done, handled, put away, I keep taking action until I get what I want. I'm never reasonable. When it comes to taking action, I don't get reasonable. Just take more action. I'm almost insane with how much action I will take in order to get the job done, but I will get the job done. A farmer should plant more food than he can possibly eat in case of drought or famine so that he can still take care of his family and neighbors. A realtor who wants more listings should call hundreds of people to get just one and will probably end up with many. If you want appointments, call every friend you have, every past client, stop people in the streets. If that's what it takes to get appointments, be mad, crazy-like, super freak status in how much action you have to take until it becomes a habit, a way of life, a normal thing for you. Once you are truly, incredibly, greatly successful, people won't talk about how crazy you were. They'll say, I always knew he was going to make it. So you want the inflow, right? You have to outflow bigger. You have to make massive amounts of martyr rounds into the environment in order for you to get enough inflow back. Act like a madman when it comes to action. Act like a mad woman. Crazy. Get completely unreasonable about what you think it will take to get the job done. Be without sanity. Be without logic. Be without reason when it comes to taking action. And you'll reach heights that others never thought you could reach and certainly have given up on themselves. Massive actions equal first new problems, then will equal new sales. Chapter 14, the power base. You have to work your power base. Salespeople tend to put their attention on selling to people they don't even know and ignoring the people they do know. Entire companies advertise to people the company doesn't know, haven't sold, and to people who aren't even interested in their products. This is insane. Salespeople wait for people they don't know and even call people they don't know while completely ignoring their known lines of influence. And everyone has them. Well, this is an absolute violation of creating power and one of the most violated basics that salespeople overlook in their careers. Everyone has a base of power in their life where things are familiar and known. Typically, it starts with one's family and friends. Most everyone has a place where there's some element of understanding, comprehension, safety, security, and strength. Hey, the easiest sale that you will ever make in your life is to those people that already know you, trust you, and want to help you. Everyone has a power base. Everyone has a fan club, whether you know it or not. Don't ignore it. Work it. Use it and mine it like it's gold. Your power base is made up of the people that would be happy to hear from you and want to know what you're up to. One of the fastest ways to not get into power in your career is to abandon those that love you, care for you, and have interest in your life. Therefore, no one has to start from scratch. Everyone knows someone. You know, I had a customer who had bought many products from me, and we became very close and personal friends. I called him one day and told him, "Get over here right now, Warren. I have to show you something." He asked me what I was up to, and I repeated, "Just get over here as soon as you can. I have to show you something." Not long after he showed up in my office, I pulled out the buyer's order, told him to sign it. He asked me, "Hey, sign what? What am I signing? I don't even know what I'm buying." I assured him, "Don't worry about it. I've never misled you. I guarantee you're going to want this." He signed the order. I presented him with this product. He fell in love with it. It was that simple. I sold him something he was not in the market for. He didn't even know he needed, didn't even know he wanted, and it was one of the easiest sales of my life. You can do things like this with your own power base. Think of yourself as the center of the base. And the closer to the center of the base the individual is, the easier the sale will be. Now, this is how to build your power base. The first thing you need to do is make a list of the base, the power base. Your power base includes, but is not limited to, friends, family members, associates at past jobs, past employers, current and former clients, members of clubs, neighbors, organizations you belong to, members of your church, and believe it or not, even people that you know that don't like you, maybe from high school. Who are they? Where are they? How do you contact them and what do you say to them? What do you say to them is the easiest part. Don't even concern yourself with that right now. Just tell them, "Hey, this is what I'm doing. I've taken on a new job." Make your list first, then make contact. Let them know what you're up to. Find out where you can meet with them to catch up. The purpose of this meeting is not to sell them, because that will happen naturally as people want to help you. The purpose is to get in contact with them. First make the list, then get in contact, and to work and restore and rebuild this power base. If you can come up with a list of 10 people, and everyone can do that, then you automatically consider that that number would be more than 10. It would be like 100. Because each of the people you know will have at least 10 people in their power base who can benefit from what you're selling or benefit from the service that you're offering. Look, if you don't believe that this is true, then I suggest you go back to the earlier chapter in this book and resell yourself on what you're doing. Because if you're sold, completely convinced, then there's a lot of people that can benefit from what you have and what you offer. You contact these people by phone. You contact them by being in person, by mail, or by email. The best way is obviously to meet people face to face, if possible. So go drop in, make a call, set up a time to have lunch. Look, don't worry about it. If you've completely neglected these people for the last many years, forget about that. Forget the past. It doesn't matter. John F. Kennedy said, "Look, if you keep your attention on the past and the present, you're going to miss the future. Forget the past. Go catch up with them now and create your future. Take interest in your contacts. Mine the power base. Find out about them. What are they doing? What's their work? Catch up. How's the family? Who's the family? It's probably changed. How's everything going?" Restore the relationship. A relationship has power. You know, it's been said many times, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And that is absolutely true when it comes to the power base. And we're going to get you to tap into that. When it comes around to you, hey, let these people know what you're doing and how much you love what you're doing and your new position and your new job and your new purpose and how excited you are. You can breach the subject that you love to show them your product, but at this point, your intention is to simply restore, rebuild, and start to mine your power base. Impose on them or help them. People want to help people that they know. I think you'd agree with that. Put away any reservations you have in your mind about contacting these people. Get rid of these silly, crazy considerations about, oh, I don't want to impose on a relationship. It's ridiculous. Hey, what are friends and family for if you can't impose on that relationship so that you can later help them? Someone's going to sell them. Why not you? The reality is they want to help you if you love your product and fully believe in that product and love your power base and believe in your power base enough to let them know what you have. It is your responsibility to help these people. Rely on the earlier rule about taking massive action and use it on your power base. Contact enough people in that power base and someone will tell you that they need your product, they want your product or service, and they were actually in the market for it. And if you have a problem imposing, you're really, really having a problem on being sold and need to get back to being sold again. Because if you're sold, you're not imposing, you're helping. From there, you expand your list. Let's say I sell clothes and I have 10 friends, each of whom have a use for the kind of clothing I sell. Each of those people know probably 10 people, but let's even go closer to their power base than that. The average household in North America has 2.2, maybe 2.4 people living in that household. That means my 10 just went to 22. See, let those 22 people know what you do, what you sell, where you are, how they can contact you. Get their addresses. Put them on a mailing list. Collect their birthdays. If you just want to send out random birthday cards, do that. I've done that many times. You know, no birthday card is better responded to than one that's been sent out on the wrong day. You know what I'm saying? Your birthday's March 22nd. I send you one on April 4th. You're like, well, why am I getting this birthday card, Grant? My birthday was I know that. See, but I'm staying in contact with my power base. Everyone that you send a birthday card to on the wrong day, I promise you will call you. Grant, so I'm a birthday today. I know, I just want to be sure you actually knew what your birthday was. See, this is just a creative way to stay in touch with your power base, and I guarantee you they'll call you as a result. Get creative. A little imagination combined with massive action will go incredible lengths for you. And do not ever worry about making a mistake. The only mistake you can make regarding a power base is not making contact. Remember that? You know, don't make the contact, you get nothing. That's the only action that's incorrect. So get those 22 people to help you to meet new people. They'll know and they'll start helping you work that list. Work that power base from the inside, closest to the base, closest to you, and watch how big you can make it. When you're making your power base, you're going to be shocked at all the people that you've forgotten. Maybe the list is bigger than 10. Maybe it's 20. Maybe it's 30. It could be 50. Don't limit yourself, but start close to you first. Make the contact. Don't worry about what you're going to say. They'll be glad to hear from you, and they want to help you. I once contacted a guy from high school that I used to get into fights with. Actually, it wasn't fights we got in. He beat me up all the time. We were incredible adversaries. He didn't like me. I didn't like him for different reasons, obviously. I called him up one day and told him, hey, look, 20 years have passed, and I think about you all the time, Mike, and how many times I've laughed about how you beat me up and that we were enemies and for all the wrong reasons, and I just want to call and tell you hello. Not long after that, he wanders into my office. He buys a product from me. Now, speaking from experience, you see, you would say never call the enemy, but he was an enemy years ago. Doesn't mean he's an enemy now. He's part of my power base. And I can tell you from personal experience, it was easier for me to sell a past enemy than it was for me to sell someone that I never met. Don't deny your power base. Work it. If you don't help your power base, I promise you a guy like me will fill in the vacuum and I'll sell them. And it's happened to all of us. Every one of us has had the experience of running into an old friend who owns a product that we represent. And they could have bought it from us, but no, they bought it from the competitor. Why? Because the competitor said, hey, I'm selling the product, and you never let them know. The competition worked the prospect. You lost the sale simply because you failed to contact your power base. The worst part about making a sale, you know what the worst part is? You just lost your best prospect and now need to replace that person. This new customer now becomes part of your power base. Sold customers is part of your power base, part of your family. Your connections. Ask any salesperson anywhere, would you rather sell someone that you've never met or someone you've sold before? And you will get the same answer. If there was a million people polled, it'd be the same answer. I want to sell the people I've sold before. Why? Because they have the experience of winning with that customer. It's easier to sell them again. I know them. I have a connection and a relationship. The relationship is there. The trust is there. The experience is there. See, your power base is now getting bigger. Add this to the enlarging circle that is emanating from you and stay in contact with these people. You want to capitalize on the easy sale. Existing customers are the easiest sale there is to make, and I always prefer them over brand new prospects. I know what turns them on. I have this relationship. I have the trust. They know me. They know the company. They know the product I represent. Even when an existing customer has had a complaint or a problem, there's still a great opportunity for me to turn that complaint or problem into another sale. Remember, problems, complaint equals opportunity. See, I have a policy in my office. All complaints are to be immediately brought to me. Why would I want to deal with complaints as the owner of the company? Why? Because I know complaints are one of the most overlooked opportunities for additional sales. And typically, salespeople and employees don't like problems. They want to avoid them. No, I want to go embrace the problem. It's an opportunity. Problems are opportunities. Solve the problem and you gain an even better customer. Another reason that former customers are easy to sell is because it's easier for them to make a decision with someone they've done business with before because they've done business before. People are creatures of habits. When I do sales seminars, 99% of the people in the room choose to sit next to someone they already know. Why is that? Because people are creatures of habits and they look to find comfort in familiarity. Creating power. So how do you create power for yourself? Most salespeople, anybody that wants anything they want in life, you're building a business. You're not a salesperson. You're like, I'm a CEO. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a business owner. I'm an actor. I'm an actress. I'm trying to build this business. Most people don't capitalize on how to create power enough, this power base. I like doing business with people that I know, don't you? I like it that you already know what I like. I like it that I like what you like. I like it that I know what you like and what you like to talk about. I like it that you've already, you know, have some expectations and I have some expectations of you of how you want to be serviced. I like it that we have an experience that we have survived together. But I wonder if the salesperson feels the same way because he rarely calls me after he sells me. It's like, wait a minute, you sold me. Why don't you stay in touch with me? Because there's a disregard for the power base and it's a violation of creating power for yourself. Do you not think I'll buy another suit? You sold me a suit. You think that's the last suit I'm gonna buy? The last tie, the last shirt, the last socks, the last shoes? Do you think I'm never gonna buy another computer, another phone, television? You don't think I'm gonna buy another house or appliance? I'm not gonna buy another car, another piece of property? I'm not gonna make another investment? Look, I've never done one of anything in my whole life. Once I do it once, I'll do it twice. Do you think I'm done after I played with you one time? Do you think I ran out of money or this was the last time any human being would ever get money from me on a similar product? Don't, why do you give up on me? I'm your power base. You sold me. Do you think that you captured the entire amount of my credit line because you sold me once? Look, always remember, you won't be the person that sells the customer for the last time. The question is, will you sell that person the next time? I can assure you, if you don't stay in touch with your power base, including your previous customers, you will never attain power in any business. Never, never, never neglect your former customers. If you want to guarantee certainty in your sales production and in your career and assure yourself a long and happy career in selling, stay in touch with the people in your power base. Love them, call them, wine them, dine them, send them presents, continue to show interest, and your power base will exude power and wealth for you and your family. You know, I bought my first piece of real estate from a friend. He'd been told by his mentor after months of working with me that I would never buy anything, that I was a flake. Actually said that, and that he was wasting his time with me, his mentor told him. Well, I bought 48 units the first time I bought anything from him. 30 days later, the following month, I bought 38 units. So much for the mentor with the great advice. He was the old polished guy I talked about earlier, the veteran that quit learning. He was contaminated and gave up on his dreams. And now he's trying to tell his, you know, the guys below him to give up. Well, the story doesn't stop here. This guy became my partner. He quit the firm he was working for to manage the portfolio I was developing. He thought I was done after these first two purchases. He gave up on his power base. And he quit aggressively looking to buy me more product because he thought I was out of money or out of credit or out of interest in more property. I called him one day, stating I was looking for more deals. I'm like, dude, I want more deals. And he was a bit pessimistic, saying, hey, the prices have got out of the way, you know, out of line, and the loans are harder to get, and it's harder to get product. And I don't think he believed I was going to purchase anymore. I think that's what he didn't tell me. Well, another long-term friend of mine named Dale was sitting across my desk in my office in La Jolla, California. And I hung up with this guy in frustration, slammed the phone down and said, damn, I was just so frustrated. He's like, what's up? I'm like, I keep telling this guy to find me product and he doesn't find me product. He tells me it's getting overpriced. Loans are hard to get. Why does he do that? I just want no more product. I'm not done. Dale looked at me. He asked, hey man, if I find more deals, if I do for you what he was doing, can I get the same deal? I told him, yeah, man, I just want to find new product. And shortly thereafter, I bought another 400 units. I only had, 48 and 38 at the time. I had 70, 80 units. I bought 4.5 times more product over the next 24 months. And Dale became my new partner. By the way, those 400 units, I ended up buying another 1,500 with Dale, on which he became my partner. So what happened? The first guy violated his power base and didn't keep working it. The new guy, Dale, hadn't worked his power base. He was in my office. He must have got it. Oh, wow, this is my power base. Started working with me, and he created wealth for himself. You know, my old friend Dale, he's made millions and millions of dollars by staying close to his power base and working it. By the way, Dale, when we first bought the first deal and he was sitting across at my desk, Dale had no experience in real estate, $54 in his pocket. He was flat broke. Literally, he had just lost his truck. This is a true story. Here's a 52-year-old guy, or 53 or 54 years old, and he turned his power base into millions of dollars for himself. Dale should have never have gotten the chance to ever become my partner, but he did because the first guy violated his power base. Dale saw the opportunity of his own power base. He worked it and was rewarded. The moral of the story is stay in touch with the people in your power base, particularly those already in power. Keep as much attention on the people you have sold as you do the people that you want to sell next, and build your power base from your power base. Chapter 15, time. How much time do you have? You know, the most powerful man in the world has 24 hours in a day to get what he needs done. The richest man in the world has 3,600 minutes in a day to earn his money. The most educated man in the world has 168 hours a week to learn. The greatest athlete in the world has 365 days a year to train. How much time do you have? When people tell me, and they often tell me this, I don't have enough time to get what I need done, Grant. Look, I don't believe it. I recently read that the average person in this country watches 3 hours of television a day, which translates by itself into 67,500 minutes of TV a year. Do you realize how many phone calls you could make with that much time? Oh my gosh. If every call only lasted 3 minutes, which it wouldn't, you could make an extra 22,500 phone calls a year. That would be 1,875 calls a month, or 75 extra calls a day if all you did was replace your television time with phone time. Look, 75 calls a day, what would happen to the massive action, to the flow back? I mean, you'd be just hammered with new problems. If you only did a portion of that, you would reach the top half of the top 1% of all the salespeople in your industry. If you only did one half of that, I would expect that if you only did a tenth of that, you would reach the top half of 1% of every salesperson in your industry. See, it's actually a lie when you tell yourself you don't have enough time. The fact is, you have the same amount of time as everyone else. You just aren't using it efficiently. We all have the same 24 hours. The same 24 hours amounts to 8,760 hours a year. And if you don't know how much time is available, you're actually unaware, unconscious of even what's available, how much time inventory there is. I assure you, you haven't decided how to use it. If you agree that time is money, do you? Time is money. You ever heard it? Everybody agrees time is money. If you agree that time is money, then your time should be inventory and protected like you would anything else that's valuable to you. I had to travel to Las Vegas recently for a speaking engagement. My driver, Vladimir, he dropped me off at the airport. He asked, hey, Grant, when are you going to be coming home so I can arrange a pickup? I told him I'll be back tomorrow morning before noon. He said, well, why don't you stay and enjoy yourself and spend an extra night and come back the following morning? I told him, Vlad, rather than wasting time in Vegas and make them richer, I'm gonna come home and get back to work and maybe make myself richer. Cause I know in Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They're not talking about the things you did. They're talking about your money. Who knows? Maybe by being home and being in the office, I'll close the biggest deal of my life. Ah, Vladimir said, that's why you are where you are and I'm driving you to the airport. Exactly, Vlad. And that's how you will get where you want to go, by maximizing every minute of every day. Anyone can be where they are now. The question is, can you get to the next place? Well, only by using time wisely and by taking massive action. You use every moment to sell. You got to use it all to sell. I've been selling for a couple of years, and this man named Ray, who had taken me under his wing, he never said that, but he just, I think he felt sorry for me because he saw, you know, some promise in me. And he pulled me aside one day and said, hey, Grant, why do you go to lunch with your fellow salesperson, Gene, every day? I was perplexed by the question as I never considered it because it seemed perfectly natural that I would go to lunch with my friend and coworker, Gene. When I wasn't able to answer Ray, he looked at me and said, Grant, Gene will never buy anything from you. Never. Wow. What he said fell on me like a truckload of gold bricks. And it really made me confront how much time, energy, and money I had been wasting by going to lunch with Gene. As I thought about it, I realized I'd been wasting 1 hour every day, 6 times a week, 52 weeks of the year, with a guy that would never buy anything from me. That was complete stupidity. I wish they'd have taught me that at school. You know, they never said in 17 years of school, hey, man, stay away from the other employees. They're not going to buy anything from you. I'd spent 312 hours of my time with no opportunity whatsoever at ever making a sale. That means I could never make any money. I never went to lunch with Gene again after that day. Never, not one time. I'm like, Gene, you're off limits, dude. Unless you're going to buy something from me, I'm not going to lunch with you. And my sales immediately picked up. I made it a firm policy that if it wasn't eating with clients or potential clients, I'd eat lunch in my office while I called clients. And I encourage you to do the same. So I ask you, how much time are you wasting? Starting today, I want you to take a look at how much time you waste every day. Every time you find yourself doing something that's not productive, make a note of it. Smoking, taking coffee breaks, standing in line, calling friends, calling family, gossip, standing around the water cooler, discussing the game from last night, going to the bar, doodling, daydreaming, avoiding work. Whatever you do, write down, hey man, was it 30 seconds, a minute and a half, 4 minutes? Become conscious. Become aware. Inventory your time. Write it down and become aware of all the things you're doing that don't add up to moving yourself, your team, and your company and your dreams down the field. What if you only had 1 hour to win the game? You can't take breaks when you've only got, you know, you got to work the ball down the field. Dude, you're out of timeouts. Okay? You're getting down to a minute or two. What do you do? You only have 3 1-minute. No, you have no timeouts left. You're out of the clock. When the buzzer rings, game's over. See, he who makes the most of his time will accomplish the most. Would you agree? Make the decision now that you're controlling time. You control time. Time no longer controls you. Change your mind about time and decide that you have plenty of it. Become a master of the clock, not a slave to it. The lunch opportunity. A partner and I were at a lunch meeting with a group of potential clients. The group seated my partner and me together at the same table. I immediately requested to be seated at a different table. Why? Because I can't sell my partner. Remember Gene? There's no opportunity in sitting next to Scott or Gene. Look, they work with me. I need to meet new people. I need to get in touch with new flows of currency, not Scott's. Scott's my partner. If he gives me any money, it's going to cost me because I'm his partner. The goal was to be with as many of the clients as possible, not to be with people I'm comfortable with. I sat at one table. He sat at another. We doubled our exposure. We doubled our time. The difference between rich people and poor people regarding time, rich people buy time, poor people waste time. I learned this valuable lesson back when I was a salesperson wasting lunches with my coworker, Gene. Today, I won't go to lunch with a fellow salesperson. I won't go to lunch with a manager. I won't even go with my boss. I need to spend time with customers, potential clients. I need to spend time with anybody that can give me new information, make new connections with me. Going to lunch with your boss will not get you job security, but selling more products will. My rule is if they work with me, they won't buy from me. And if they won't buy from me, that excludes them from spending a lunch with me. You need to work your sales career the way a politician works his campaign. He doesn't keep talking to the people that are already going to vote for him. He goes out to talk to people who haven't decided yet. Today, I invest my lunchtime, breakfast, and dinners with buyers, prospects, and even long shots. These lunch dates would include anyone that might someday buy from me. Even when I'm not taking a customer lunch, I want to frequent places where I've got a shot at being seen, where people go, or where I might just luck out and run into someone who will buy from me. People that go out to lunch are typically qualified buyers. I was at lunch at the Beverly Hills Hotel the other day and with a friend named Doug Doring, and Doug's like, man, you come here all the time? This is where you got to be, Grant. And he's right. I need to be in the circulation. People that go to lunch are people that are what? Bankers, insurance people, salespeople, entrepreneurs, money, financing, dreamers, doers, movie makers, producers, you know, people that are making things different. These are the buyers of your products. Go out and be with them. You sell trucking products? Go where the truck drivers go, or go where the truck buyers go. Go out and be seen with them. Be seen. Get to know them. Find a restaurant where qualified people, prospects of your products, go to eat. Show up there every day until they get to know you, and you get to know the scene. You become familiar with them, and they become familiar with you. Visit that one place and become known before you move on to other locations. Get to know the owner. Get to know the waiter or waitresses. And don't get to know the bartender too well, though. See, become a patron. Then you'll get to know the people in there. Because you are a patron, you're familiar, they'll become familiar with you. Go to the place where potential customers congregate at lunch, where people, players for your product would go, and be seen by them. Personally, I like to go to the pricey places, because this attracts the better quality customer. Aristotle Onassis, the great shipping magnate, always made a point, he said, to go to expensive restaurants. Throughout his travels as a young man, he would always go to places where there was money. People spent money on dinner, lots of money. Drinks were more, coffee was more. Hey, it was not because he could afford. He didn't have the money then. It's because he knew he wanted to be around money, people with money, because people with money typically are people that have opportunities and people that are having success. I once made a sale to an insurance agent in the town that I was born in, and I lived there 29 years. And I called him one day and said, hey, Enos, how about I buy you lunch as a sign of my appreciation? I met him at his office. He agreed. I met him in his office. He loaded up his wife and his daughter, and we went off to his favorite place. At that time, I'm sitting there thinking small in the back seat. I'm thinking small. I'm thinking, oh, I'm worried about the bill. How much is it going to be? Within 5 minutes of sitting down, he had already introduced me to a friend of his from another table. My client's intro, my friend Enos, who I went to lunch with, said, hey, Vic, this is the kid I was telling you about, talking about me. At which time Vic pulls out a card, qualified buyer, throws down a card, call me today. I want one just like he got. Can you have it at my office today? Lunch out equals sales up. That brown bag you have made for yourself to go eat to save the $10, it's going to cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars in lost sales by staying stuck in your office. You got to go out, folks. You got to be seen. You got to mix it up. You got to put yourself in the game of life. There's no money in your kitchen. If you're in your office, then you need to be on the phone the whole time. Use that lunchtime to go meet people, to meet clients. Don't waste this opportunity hanging out with friends and other employees. You can't save your way to being a millionaire. It's impossible. It takes too many lunches. But you can certainly sell your way to being a millionaire. Quit trying to save money. Start doing whatever it takes to be seen, to be noticed, and to make more sales. My wife is an actress in Hollywood. You've probably seen her on TV, actually. And I asked her, hey, where's the best place for people in your business to be seen? And she told me, the best place, Grant, is to be at the Ivy. Guess where we should be going to lunch? See, people remember who they see and forget who they don't see. Some people even take it as a sign. Oh, I saw him the other day. Maybe we should call him. When they see somebody, they're like, oh, maybe it's a sign. Lunch is about business and opportunity. And for years, people have made money and connections and sales over lunches. It's not about food and friends and family. Lunch is an occasion to create contacts, to build your power base, and to show appreciation for past customers. Utilize this time and work this one-hour gold mine. Make the most of every day by knocking out all that wasted time. Cleverly schedule the use of your time. Treat time like money. You know, some people might wonder, isn't there any time to just relax and take it easy? Sure there is. That comes later when you've reached your goals and made your dreams come true. Look, if you aren't where you want to be in life, you got to work every angle. You need to work every minute. You need to snatch up every opportunity. You owe it to yourself, you owe it to your family, and you owe it to your future. Make every moment count. And remember, rich people buy time. Poor people just waste. Chapter 16, Attitude. A great attitude is worth more than a great product. People will pay more for an agreeable, positive, and enjoyable experience than they will ever pay for a great product. Who doesn't want to feel good? Who doesn't want to be acknowledged for being right? Who doesn't want to be smiled at and agreed with? You show me a person that doesn't want to feel good, and I'll show you someone that you don't want to bother selling. Man wants to feel good. Man is moved by positive and confident people more than he is moved by great products. There will always be a market for products that make him feel good, but a person who can make someone feel good can sell almost any product. The individual that combines a great attitude with a great product becomes unstoppable. A positive attitude is 1,000 times more important to me than the product I'm selling. Just observe how people on this planet spend money. A person will spend a small amount of his income on the necessities of life and blow his entire paycheck on entertainment. Why? Because he wants to feel good. Why does Jay Leno make more money than all the school teachers in Los Angeles combined? Because he makes people laugh. He makes them feel good. It's easy for a buyer to say no to a product, even a company, but it's extremely difficult to say no to a positive experience with another human being. It's not natural. When something makes you feel good, you want more of that thing. Whether it makes sense or not, you want more of the feel good. That is why people do things that aren't good for them. Because for a moment or two, it made them feel good. See, people will spend money on things that make them feel good before they'll spend money on things they need. This explains poverty. It explains debt levels that we see today. One time I saw this beautiful jacket on display in a shop window. I was so intrigued by it. It grabbed my attention. I went inside to take a closer look. I asked the clerk, "Hey, what's the price of that jacket?" Which she told me as she helped me slip on the jacket. Admiring my reflection in the mirror, I protested as she told me the price, that the price was actually insane and that I didn't even need this jacket. With a warm understanding and beautiful smile, she said, "No one buys a jacket like this because they need it. They buy it because it's beautiful and it makes them feel good." Melting in the truth of her statement, I asked, "Do you take American Express?" See, with all the chaos and bad news that the media so freely disseminates on a daily basis, 24 hours a day, it's refreshing to meet a solution-oriented, positive person, almost like an oasis for the guy walking through a desert. Oh, refreshing, positive, because you're just bombarded with negativity all day. You know the kind of person I'm talking about? The kind of person who's always smiling as they say, "Yes, sir, I'll get it done. I'd be happy to do that. I want to take care of that kind of positive. I'll take care of anything." See, I just want to be sold. Or do I? No, the truth is I don't want to just be sold. I want to feel good. I want people around me who are positive, helpful, smiley, and motivated. That's what everybody wants. All people want positive. I have a personal assistant named Jen. When I hired Jen, she had no experience in my type of businesses and had never worked in that kind of environment. I didn't hire Jen because of her abilities or experience or her resume, but because of her positive attitude. Jen is one of the most upbeat, can-do, get-it-done, with-a-smile-on-your-face kind of people I've ever known. It doesn't mean that Jen doesn't make mistakes. She does. But because of her attitude, the mistakes she makes become acceptable to me. See, I never get mad at her. I mean, I find it almost impossible to get mad at her, no matter what she does, because she's so service-oriented, so positive, so, "Yes, sir, I'd be happy to, no problem." Hey, is Jen selling? Absolutely. Every day, whether she knows it or not. It's an attitude. Attitude gets you latitude. See, if you make mistakes and you're negative, I'm going to crush you. If you make a mistake and you're positive, and I feel good around you, lots of latitude. Attitude is latitude, right? See, never let anyone convince you that people won't pay more for a great attitude and for great service, because they will. The ability to be positive at all times, whether you're winning or losing, is that one thing that will ensure that you're a winner in the end. Attitude. It's senior to everything. I almost regret I left it for one of the last chapters in the book, because it is so vitally critical. You know, I love positive people, and I bet you do too. And I find them irresistible. When you're positive, people will find you irresistible. The people that don't like you because you're positive, you don't want to be around them anyway, folks. Okay? It's oil and water, positive and negative. Stay away from them. Now, treat them like millionaires. You know, my wife and I go to a place called The Grove in Los Angeles for dinner and a movie. We valet parked the car there. And this bleach blonde, spiky-haired, you know, guy that's Mr. Positive, big smile on his face, always greets, opens the door, enthusiastically says, "Good to see you again, boss. Leave it with me, and I'll see you in a couple hours. The car will be right up front." Every time I come back, I hit him with 20. Every time. You know what it costs to valet park a car there? I think it's $8. Bam! 20 bones. The other valet guy that works there, who greets us like we're a nuisance, he doesn't smile. He appears to hate his job. He parks the car in the same spot that spiky hair does. But due to his poor attitude, I give him the $8 or the $5 or whatever it costs, because all he did was park my car for me. I'm sure he goes home and he tells his girlfriend how cheap all the people are, that these guys come in with big cars and we valet and they, but you know what? Spiky Hair's got a completely different story. In fact, Mr. Negative said that Spiky Hair's the lucky guy and he's just unlucky. Look, it ain't luck. It's not the luck of the spiky haired guy, I assure you. And it's definitely not that I'm a poor tipper. It's the attitude that made the difference. I'm not paying for you to park my car. I'm paying for your attitude. The reality is people with good attitudes are luckier than people with bad attitudes. There is no treasure greater than a great attitude, and no way to get a real treasure without having a great attitude. Listen to that. There's no treasure greater than a great attitude, and no way to get real treasures without having a great attitude. A customer once wanted to buy a truck for me, and he, like many car buyers, didn't want the dealership to make any money from the deal. He thought it was fair that he only pay invoice for the truck. None of this makes any sense, of course, because if the company keeps selling their products for invoice, they won't have any money to stay in business to even service this customer. But that's what this guy wanted. Well, because I know that attitude is senior and more important than the product or the price, and because I trust that the customer will pay for my can-do positive attitude, I told him, "Hey, no problem. Whatever you want. It's yours, my friend. I just appreciate having the opportunity to do business with you, regardless of what we make on the truck." He was shocked at my response and the smile I had on my face because I hadn't let him get, or his attitude get, beneath my skin. I spent the next hour or so showing him the truck, getting to know him, laughing with him, and being positive, a positive influence on him. I treated this guy as if he were about to give me $1 million, even though he said, "I don't want to pay you any profit." I put aside the fact that he didn't want to pay any more than invoice and pushed everything in the direction of a great attitude. At the close, I showed him the documented third-party certified invoice price on the truck. I showed him the state taxes were $4,000 and added an additional $2,000 for me to take care of him for the next 4 years. He looked at me and said, "You know I can buy this down the street without paying the extra $2,000. With a smile, I responded, "You're probably right, but you won't get me down the street." He laughed and said, "I don't know why I'm doing this, but let's do it." And he wrote the check. Remember that a product can be shopped, but a great attitude, an incredible can-do positive attitude, cannot be shopped. A price can be beat, but a great attitude is priceless. A price can be beat, but a great attitude is priceless. There's nothing more valuable to anyone than a positive person. People will always act according to your attitude. They're not acting according to their attitude. They're acting according to yours. If it's negative, if you're getting negative responses, right, it's because you're negative. If it's negative, expect negative. When it's positive long enough, genuinely enough, you can expect them to become positive. If I scream and threaten another person, you can expect them to flee or fight. See, neither response is survival for you as a salesperson. But look, if I'm positive and agreeable, and I can expect the buyer's response to be positive and agreeable, would you agree? It is contagious. I'm contagious. When you have the ability to change another person's attitude in a positive manner and make them feel better than they did before they met you, and look, you no longer need to rely on your product being superior. It's your attitude that's superior. How you act toward others will be how they will act toward you. even down to how you think about others. Your attitude precedes everything that happens to you in your life. If you think about car wrecks, you will have car wrecks. If you hang around negative people, you will become negative. If you hang around people with problems, you will attract people with problems. Actually, you've already attracted the people with problems. Now you're going to attract problems. A product of your environment. You know, my mom told me as a kid, you are the people you hang around, Grant. While I resisted her wisdom at that time, I now know it's true. Today, however, I would take that statement from my mother even further and say you are a product of all that you surround yourself with. That includes the TV you watch, the newspapers you read, the friends you have, the movies you watch, your hobbies, your interests, your family, and everything that you're involved with. Every winter season, the news people spend hours each day convincing you and your family that the flu season is coming and that you are susceptible and that millions of people will get the flu. They used to call this thing an epidemic, and now they call it pandemic because I guess they wanted to scare people even more. Do I think that people actually get the flu because it's promoted with such dedication? Hey, I got to tell you, absolutely believe that people get the flu because the media says you're going to get the flu. Why? Because the mind is in control. Your mind is a very powerful thing. The media gets everyone thinking about the flu, worrying about the flu, talking about the flu, and people will start to think they're getting the flu until they finally just go get it. Actually, they go get it injected into their arm, drop their immune system, and start to get other problems over a period of their life. See, when the media starts promoting recession and tough times, people everywhere contract and tighten up, and this perpetuates that exact thing that they promoted. Entire economies can be frozen by what is promoted on television and newspapers. So what do you think it does to your mind? Entire economies can be wrecked because of television and newspapers. So what can it do to one individual? Entire nations of people's attitudes are shifted from positive to negative in order to influence the actions of many so only a few can benefit. You think that's drastic? Trust me, you're being manipulated every day. The newspapers and televisions have been used for years to influence the attitudes and actions of the many. If millions of people's actions can be altered by news, TV, radio, newspaper, certainly your attitude can influence one other person for the good or the bad. Even the medical profession agrees that most mental and physical diseases are actually psychosomatic. Most people today agree that they're mental. This has been proven with the placebo pill that in many cases results in much healing. But look, it was just sugar. There's no real medicine in it. It's a placebo. There's nothing but sugar in it. Take the placebo, take the pill, and people actually believe they get better, and then they do. I believe that the single most valuable asset I have in my life and the most valuable asset I have in my family's life is my ability to stay positive when everyone else is losing their minds. That doesn't mean I stay positive all the time. Look, I get negative too. But I believe my ability to stay above the masses, above this wall of negativity, when everyone's freaking out around me and worrying and crying and tripping out, I want to be positive. By staying positive, you become the obvious leader, and people will follow your lead. If that position in life is desirable to you, then you need to do everything possible to protect your attitude from things that bring you down. You also need how to take preventive steps and guard yourself against those people who may have the agenda of affecting you negatively. Look, it's not enough to just be positive. You have to actually protect yourself against those who are being negative. Watch out for friends, family, work associates, and others around you who actually, whether they know it or not, may have the agenda of negatively impacting those around you. Look, attitudes, like diseases, are contagious, and they're contagious both ways, good and bad. Your enemies are not your problem when it comes to attitude. It's the people closest to you. The enemy's long, long away. It's the people around you that could be affecting you most negatively. See, would you let your best friend leave his garbage in your house? Would you? Of course not. But that's exactly what he's been doing when he comes around and starts telling you about bad news, gossip, can't do, that can't happen, his troubles, this is impossible, they're asking me to do impossible things. Look, he's dropping garbage in your house. You're allowing his mental trash to be left in your environment, and you become infected. So I'm going to give you some tips to having a great attitude. This is something I work on every day. I continue to work on it. Okay, here's some tips. If you aren't getting paid the way you want to be paid and you know what you're doing, That means you technically know how to do your job, and you're not getting paid. I assure you that your attitude is part of your problem. You can be smiley, you can be happy, but your attitude ultimately is part of your problem. If you want a bigger paycheck, you got to get a bigger attitude. The question is, how do you change an attitude? How do you stay positive? What can you do to ensure that you're smiling, happy, and loving life, and people get it, and it's authentic and genuine? It's not a fake smile. It's real. Well, here are some helpful suggestions that I've used in my own life when I want to make sure that I had a beaming, positive attitude and that it was natural for me. Number one, avoid newspapers, television, and radio. It'll kill you. Number two, stay away from can't-do people, people that have troubles in life, and people that don't do well. Look, leave them alone. You can try to help people, but don't hang around them and be affected by them negatively. This includes family and friends. It includes people you like, but look, they're having problems. Maybe they need to go to quarantine. Number three, get everyone in your life on the same page with where you're going and what you want in your life and what is expected of them in order for you to get there. That means your kids, your spouse, everybody needs to be on the same page. Mom, dad, you know, you're starting a new business and your mom and dad are like, I'm worried about that. I don't need to hear that from you. Get them on the same page. Four, avoid drugs, avoid alcohol because of the negative influence they have on you. They make you lethargic. They make you slow. They make you not sure. They put you in mystery. They're against the law. Stay away from prescription drugs. They affect the mind as badly as a street drug does. That is proven today. Some of those drugs are as dangerous as LSD, heroin, cocaine. You're not fixing a problem. Some are proving more dangerous than even those drugs that are illegal. Just look at the side effects in the warning labels. Itchy this, burning eyes, swelling that, swelling this, shrinking that. I mean, come on. Control your attitude by being aware and alert, not by being drugged and numbed. Number five, avoid hospitals and doctors if at all possible. Hey, go see them when you absolutely have to. Like you break your arm, you go to a doctor, he fixes it. But don't spend a week there. I've seen too many people get worse when they spend time with doctors and hospitals. Hospitals appear to be sick factories. I don't even like to go visit other people there because of the amount of negativity in the environment. All the, oh, he's sick. This guy's terminal. This is a problem. That's a problem. Look, you want to get in positive environments. Just watch people as they leave a hospital and you'll know exactly what I mean. Six, treat negative talk like garbage. Put up a sign in your office and it'll read, no negative talk zone. Not allowed here. Don't allow people to talk negatively around you or about others. No criticism and no gossip. You don't need it. Treat it like garbage and don't allow anyone to leave their garbage in your environment. Number seven, start the negativity diet today. Commit to no negative thoughts, ideas, or talk for the next 24 hours. This will be a start to your really getting control of your thoughts and actions and will help you build discipline to control how you think and act. I'm going to tell you about the better way. Thoughts come before actions, and your actions then determine your life. So once you get control of how you think, you're going to become aware. Wow, man, I'm negative a lot. I'm negative a lot. Okay, good. No big deal. Just write it down. This is what I said, this negative. Knock it off and start your 24 hours again. Once you get control of how you think, you will then get control of your actions. The negativity diet works like this. No negative talks, no negative thoughts, no talking negative, no negative actions for a full 24 hours or you restart the clock. While this may seem like a very simple challenge, I have never met anyone that made it the first 24 hours, and I know thousands of people that have failed the challenge only 10 minutes after starting. Okay? So no negative talk. No negative comments to other people. You start again. It's just a game. Don't take it too serious. Just start trying to slowly put in some discipline. Now, if you want to know the ultimate way, the ultimate end-all way to get rid of negativity, it is not to discipline yourself out of it or try to train yourself not to have it. And it's not to stand in a mirror and say, I am positive, I am positive, I love myself, you know, the whole law of attraction thing, everything good comes to me if I think good things. The way to be positive, ultimately, is to get rid of negativity. And I'm going to tell you about a book that I've read. I've read it six times. It's called Dianetics. It was written by L. Ron Hubbard. The book is phenomenal at getting rid of negativity permanently and forever. And I'm not talking about that everyday kind of negativity, but I'm talking about the stuff that actually is the engine of negativity and drives people into not being able to control and keep a positive attitude. So get the book Dianetics and read it. My office has it, so if you want to call there and get it, they can get it for you. This is going to give you a game to play whereby you're competing with yourself to start controlling how you think and act and live in life. People have become unaware of just how negative they are and then wonder, hey, why is life so negative? Control your thoughts, unless you want to just get rid of them, and you can, and you'll control your actions. This simple game, the diet, will first make you aware. Once you're aware, you start making some gentle changes. Okay, be honest with yourself. Play the game. When you fail, start it over. If you want to get rid of it, just get the book Dianetics, and it'll explain to you how the mind works. So if you want to permanently get rid of the negativity, call the office, and we'll introduce you to a surefire way to rid yourself of all these computations forever. Negative responses, reactive responses, and you'll be positive, forward-looking, solution-oriented that you're supposed to be. Look, the reality is, if you didn't have any negativity going on in the first place, you wouldn't need the negativity diet. You'd be positive. Nothing in your life will pay you more rewards than your ability to have and maintain a great attitude. Nothing will prove more valuable in your life than a positive outlook on life, regardless of your career. People will remember you in life, not for how much money you made or how much success you achieved, but for how you handled life and how you made others feel. Your attitude and your ability to have a positive influence on the attitudes of others will not only affect your sales, but every area of your life, your marriage, your kids, your health, your wealth, your luck, everything. You name it, and a great attitude will affect it. Chapter 17, The Biggest Sale of My Life. You know, the first moment I saw this woman, Elena, I knew I'd found the girl I was going to marry. I was absolutely and completely sold from the first moment I saw this woman. It also became almost immediately apparent that, like many customers I had had in the past, she wasn't going to make this sale very easy for me. I was taken back by her beauty, even to the point of feeling insecure at my own qualifications to have this woman, even my ability to get her attention. But I pushed through my fears and introduced myself to her as my heart skipped and my pulse raced. You guys know what I'm talking about. She responded to me with complete disinterest, as though she couldn't even see me, like as though I was a ghost, like she looked through me and never saw me. You would have thought that I was Casper the ghost, unable to be seen. I was devastated and certain by her response that this sale be almost impossible. The whole encounter lasted maybe a minute when she continued on what she was doing and left me to be by myself. I went to one of the people on the set, a friend working my power base, and found out everything I could find out about this woman called Elena. I got her phone number even from this individual, even though he resisted. He's like, no, I can't do that. He was reluctant to do so, but could see I would never go away, never leave him without that number. Hard sell, right? Stay with it and get it. I called her the following day, right away, massive action. With enthusiasm and my great attitude, convincing myself that I could get her interested in me, attitude of senior to product. I could get her interested regardless of her interest in me. It only takes one. Again, it didn't go the way I wanted. I was hoping, oh man, she's going to turn, right? But she seemed completely uninterested in my product, me, and was a bit annoyed that I even called her. I knew I was missing the mark, but was totally convinced that she was the one because I was completely sold on the product. I was unable to really get my communication in with her because I didn't know what she liked. I didn't know what she had interest in. I was getting nowhere so fast, but I just refused to give up. I'm like, the jagged edge. I don't know how to do this. So what? Take action. Looking for some positive support and reassurance, I called my mom and announced that I had met the girl I was going to marry. My mom was excited and asked me when we were going to go out or if we'd been out. And I told her, no, there's just one little problem. This girl, Elena, that I'm going to marry has no interest in me. My mom, wanting to protect her son from being hurt, offered her advice in this situation, stating, Grant, it takes two for a relationship. If she doesn't have interest in you, then you can't impose yourself on her. Protect yourself from negative information. Remember that? Be careful where you get advice. I'm talking to you right now. My mom's done with her advice. Be careful where you get your advice, because when you're going after your dreams and goals, Even the people that love you the most can sometimes offer information that could possibly cause you to get off your path of your dreams. So my mom says, Grant, she's not interested. You can't impose yourself. The moment